Hello. Welcome to Teacher Training Unplugged Radio. My name is Anthony Gorham. There's been quite a long gap between episodes as Christmas and New Year got in the way. I had to do something to convince Father Christmas that I'd been a good boy, however, so in the run-up to Christmas, I collaborated with Phil Wade and co-authored a short ebook on 5-minute self-reflection activities for teachers, which was a lot of fun and which you can get for free. Now that we're well past the season to be jolly, I find myself back in the Hanseatic north of Germany, doing my day job of working on Celta courses. I'm working with a talented, thoughtful, and enthusiastic group of beginning teachers at the moment, and they're making my job very easy in lots of ways. We've just spent the past week getting to know the language learners who have signed up to participate in the teaching practice classes, and over the past few days, my trainees have dreamed up, designed, and delivered some great lessons. These lessons have focused on offering the students opportunities to listen to or read personal stories that the trainees were willing to share. The trainees told stories ranging from losing a bunny out of a moving vehicle on a freeway, or seeing the real Santa Claus doing his rounds, to the exquisite suffering brought on by not heeding a culinary warning. This prompted the students to share wonderful stories of their own, my favourite being a childhood memory of a puppy running off with the Christmas goose. No bunnies or puppies were harmed in the making of these lessons, I should add, though I'm afraid a goose was. While I was watching these lessons, and while much was going well and was enjoyable to observe, I couldn't help but notice something very small going on, that was sometimes having quite a big impact on proceedings. When I say I saw something going on, what I really ought to say is I saw something not going on, or at least not when it really mattered. Let me take you into an imaginary classroom to show you what I mean. Picture this. We are observing a teacher make the transition from their lead-in or warmer stage to the first of their listening tasks. It's a simple, classic, global understanding or GIST-type reason for listening, and it's written on a handout that the teacher is about to give to the students. The teacher has checked in with the students and listened to what they got out of the warm-up task, and the teacher decides now is the time to make the move to the story. The teacher looks to their left at the desk, checks their notes, picks up their handouts, and starts to give their instruction. To save time, they get up and start passing around their material, doing each student the courtesy of handing it to him or her personally. While the teacher is doing this, they continue to give their instruction, taking great care to pass out one handout to each student, and negotiating the crowded back end of the room, squeezing between the class table and their observing colleagues and me. They get to the front of the room again and settle into starting their story. There is a mild disquiet in the room, and one of the less demure of the students gets the teacher's attention and asks, "What is it we should do?" Now, you may be thinking, if the teacher had only given the instruction before handing out the material, this would never have happened. And perhaps you're right. It's just that I've also seen the same outcome when materials followed instructions, so there must be something even more basic going on. Or, as I say, not going on. What was the teacher spending most of the time not looking at? That's right, the students. Eye contact is hugely important for all kinds of reasons in the classroom. Apart from helping in relationship building, which is important in itself, what I'm noticing more and more is that where eye contact is lacking, classroom management problems increase. When teachers give instructions without looking their students in the eye at the outset, and without maintaining this reasonably during the instruction giving, then it makes no difference how otherwise clear, concise, comprehensive, and precise the instruction was. Students often don't understand, or their attention was elsewhere, and they missed it. When teachers give instructions after getting everyone's attention, and after they know that they have gotten everyone's attention because they can see the group looking back at them, then even a suboptimal instruction can do the job. The importance of eye contact may be so obvious to those of you listening that you might think it's bizarre for me to make such a point of it. But it is precisely because it is so obvious that it's worth being reminded about. Because when you're already heavily taxed by engaging in a new activity, managing a raft of paperwork and other strange artifacts like board pens, with half a dozen people watching your every move in silence, insufficiently hidden behind the students you're determined not to let down or embarrass yourself in front of, then your ability to look out into the world and stare it in the face diminishes very quickly. The unavoidable self-absorption of the novice, whether it be the novice teacher or the novice driver, leads to a short-sightedness of a very particular kind. For the driver, it starts with a difficulty to see much beyond the dashboard. Over time, peripheral vision opens up and something approaching safe, observant driving can occur. For the teacher, it starts with a difficulty to lift our eyes from our lesson plan notes or other paperwork and look the people with whom we're working in the eye. Over time, this channel of communication opens up and something approaching genuine, open communication can occur. But given the importance of not only seeing the other people in the room, but really looking at them, what can we do in the meantime to help speed up the developmental process? One thing we can do is to do one thing at a time, quite literally. The observed classroom is a very pressurized environment, whatever we try to do to alleviate it. But precisely for this reason, we need to focus on what we're doing, not on what's going on at the back of the room with our colleagues. One way of doing this is to become willing to pay the price in time for focus. Accept that each single step we take in the classroom may require our total focus, and then give it that focus for the moment it requires. So if we need to consult our notes, we consult our notes. If the notes tell us to gather our task sheets and tell the students what to do next, we gather our task sheets. Then we look up and we make eye contact with the class and we move on from there. That's all for now on Teacher Training Unplugged Radio. If you liked what you heard, please share it, like it, and leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you. For now, this is Anthony Gorhan saying thank you for listening and see you next time.